Today's podcast is brought to you by Chikara Wrestle Factory, 4711 Wingate Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where they specialize in lucha libre, pour sous, European, British, and German styles, mixed martial arts, and American pro wrestling, all built into the curriculum at Wrestle Factory, where they strive to create the most well-rounded performers active today. Hey, yo, pro wrestling podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And to make it a little bit more interesting, we're shooting for our first 100 subscribers on YouTube, so we'll be giving out random shout-outs to random new subscribers as we try to reach that goal of 100. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. This is episode number 66, and we got all kinds of things to talk about coming out of Raw last night with the Superstar Shakeup version 1.0, I guess night one or whatever you want to call it. Really, I'd be honest with you, as we went into this, it seemed like it was going to be a lot of surprises and things like that, and I'll give them that. There were some surprises, but not necessarily for the reasons that you would hope. Heading into the show, we all anticipated AJ Styles, Roman Reigns, some really marquee names making movement. And it made it sound like we were going to be seeing people do trades. We're going to see Shane McMahon or Daniel Bryan coming to Raw and negotiating with Kurt Angle or potentially Stephanie McMahon to try to make out trades and roster movement. Well, this felt nothing like that. This was complete mishmash. It obviously was something thrown together at the last minute. It was not well thought through. And WWE ended up, in my opinion, and purely my opinion, totally falling flat on their face. This was not a well-oiled machine. This was just garbage. You kick off the show with hitting John Cena's music and having the Miz and Maurice walk out, which I'm perfectly fine with Miz and Maurice continuing to further the John Cena storyline while he's away. The problem I have is John Cena is now on SmackDown and they're now on Raw. There's no reason to continue that if you're not going to actually give it some substance and some actual ability to see some in-ring action. The Miz has been one of the best characters of the entire year for the SmackDown brand. He's really added legitimacy to the Intercontinental Championship when he had it. He added legitimacy to matches like the Elimination Chamber and such, where even though he's not booked to be the winner, he's booked to be a believable winner if he were to have been chosen. And that's the thing. When a character comes out and you just know they're just never going to win anything, it makes for a boring program. With The Miz, you just never know when he's going to pull off a victory, and it could be over somebody minuscule or mid-card, or it could be over somebody gigantic like John Cena or Dean Ambrose. So they've done a really good job over the last year building The Miz and Maurice up to be a high-profile act, only to see them move to Raw where the top of the card is completely cluttered with talent. And it makes it so you don't have a mid-card as well established as you'd like to on the Raw brand. And that's an issue. That's a huge problem. Because when you look at the card top to bottom, how do you come up with compelling storylines to try to explain why all these, you know, big egos aren't going to war with each other every week? I mean, let's be serious. Is The Miz really ever going to challenge Braun Strowman to a match? Is The Miz going to go up against Roman Reigns and have any chance of defeating him? Is he going to, if for some reason they move Reigns, is he ever going to challenge any of the top talent? Seth Rollins? Maybe you put him over Seth Rollins if he's built correctly, but I don't even see that happening. So I don't see a way for The Miz to ever get into the world championship picture, and that's something that his character has kind of earned over the last year, the way he's really performed at such a high level on SmackDown. I think they should have left him on the blue brand. I'm not real happy with the move to Raw because I don't think he's going to get a world championship opportunity. That's something I think he deserves. However, now that it's been done, there are a few people he has an opportunity to work with that I think have some substance. I was really disappointed to see that when he comes to Raw, his first match is against somebody he was just had a feud only a few months ago on SmackDown with, which would be Dean Ambrose, who also is coming to Monday Night Raw. Another one of those things where I said this the other day on one of the other episodes, Dean Ambrose has kind of turned into like this mid-upper card guy where they gave him a world championship run, I think because they didn't know what else to do with the title at the time, and they've really done nothing of substance with him. He's going to lose the Intercontinental Championship to Baron Corbin. That should be pretty apparent. Kevin Owens, unless Kevin Owens moves over to SmackDown, I guess that's possible, but I don't like the booking here. I don't like Dean Ambrose moving off the blue brand. I think there was still a lot more there for him to do. But if you're going to move him, I suppose this is a good time to do it because he is somebody that you could see defeating people like Seth Rollins. He could beat a Roman Reigns. He could beat an AJ Styles. He could beat potentially a Braun Strowman in the right situation. So I guess if I have to be okay with a move, I'm a little bit more accepting of the move of Dean Ambrose. Now, when it comes to some of the other moves, and we'll get to the big one later, the one that I consider to be the biggest move, I'm just going to talk briefly about each one of the other movements. Apollo Crews going to Raw really does very little for me, but at least it gives you the hope that they could reboot his character. Because coming off the Independence, when he was Hoo-Ah Nation, you know, he really had a following on the independent scene, and he's really been squashed since getting to WWE. Even in NXT, where he was booked to be relatively strong, he has never had the kind of reception he had on the independent. So it would be nice to see him get that. Hopefully, going to Raw will give him that opportunity. Kurt Hawkins, I have nothing. I don't even know why the guy's on the roster. I'm not a big advocate of cutting people and firing people and taking away their ability to earn an income. But if you're not going to do something more substantial with Kurt Hawkins, like, put him on NXT. You know, let him be down there as an experienced veteran and do some things with some guys he's never worked with before and build that brand. Don't waste my time with him on Raw or SmackDown, either one of the shows. So I don't understand his call move over to the Raw at all. I think it was actually a horrible signing from the get-go because they really had no intention of doing anything of substance with him, even after all those wonderful vignettes. The Kalisto move to Raw is actually one of my favorites. I've said this before. I think Kalisto is a perfect fit for the Cruiserweight division. I think you have very few people who can legitimately give a run to Neville, to Austin Aries, and even now last night after they established TJ Perkins as a legitimate threat to Aries and to Neville, you needed somebody else at the top of that division. Kalisto's the guy who beat Ryback at WrestleMania, you know what I mean? So he's got some credibility to his name. I just wish they would have put some other talents over there with him. I thought the Aiden English thing was custom made. I really can't believe they didn't move Aiden English over there unless they're repackaging him in some way. Heath Slater and Rhino, I felt like this team was ready to break up only a month ago. I felt like this was over. They had their run. Everything's good to go. But I suppose when you look at the SmackDown roster after the Vaudevillains break up because of the termination of Simon Gotch's contract, that you don't have a lot of talent there in the tag team division. And obviously you're probably expecting them to move at least one, maybe two teams over to SmackDown tonight, so you had to bring somebody to Raw to compete. But in all seriousness, there's rumors out now that it's going to be the Shining Stars and the New Day. Well, what are Rhino and Heath Slater? They're the Shining Stars part two. They're people who they had a little bit of a run with the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, but the reality is there's no long-term promise for their future, so they're really just fodder for the bottom of the tag team division. You know, so I don't really have any feelings one way or another, really, for that. Alexa Bliss coming over, we expected that. I put that on my podcast episode the other day. I think Alexa Bliss needed to move over to Raw. I think she has a lot to offer the Raw brand. I think she brings a certain level of heel mentality that a lot of the women don't have. And I think she does a really good job of it. And she's not a monstrosity in size like Charlotte or like a Nia Jax. So I actually think that she has the ability to put on more believable matches with people like Bayley and Sasha Banks and the like. So I'm actually happy she's on Raw. Mickie James, it didn't matter to me what brand she went to start her career, her return, I should say, to WWE back in January. So I don't have a problem with her going to Raw or SmackDown. So this one really didn't move my needle at all. I couldn't care less. I just want to see her get some wins and get some quality matches in with some people she's never wrestled before. So maybe a Mickie James Bayley match or Mickie James Sasha Banks match. I'm okay with anything like that. Let's just hope that they use her and book her a little bit better than they have over on SmackDown. The arrival of Elias Sampson out in the crowd and coming down the aisleway during the Hardys tag team match and such. I'm actually okay with this too. I really would have preferred him go to the SmackDown brand because I feel like they have a better system for a mid-card program. But at the end of the day, Raw really doesn't even have a mid-card program. And you got people like The Miz there. And like I said earlier, Dean Ambrose and stuff like that. You got to have somebody for these guys to wrestle. So I'm okay with Elias Sampson going here. My concern is I really strongly feel Sami Zayn is going to move over to SmackDown tonight. And if he doesn't, that's good for Elias Sampson because it creates a really great feud that they could set up there. If he does, I wonder where they're going to move him, what kind of feud or what kind of storyline they're going to put him in to establish himself on Raw. There was a switch of announcers. So David Otunga from SmackDown is going to move over to Raw. Whatever. You know, David Otunga is a supremely intelligent individual. I don't consider his broadcasting work to be on the level, but he's working on it. And if he's not going to be an in-ring talent, you might as well tap whatever talents you can get out of the guy. You have a relatively strong team on Raw calling the matches. And I'm not going to get into the whole JBL conversation over on SmackDown, but SmackDown needed a strong announcer. And they get Byron Saxton in return, which, you know, Byron Saxton probably not happy about that this morning, but he has to understand something. He actually is strategically positioning himself to be a top announcer for the foreseeable future. And for a guy who used to have aspirations of being a wrestling talent going on the main roster himself one day, he has really transitioned into the announcing role quite well. So I'm actually happy for him. So that leaves us with one person to talk about, and that's Bray Wyatt. I can't even begin to tell you how frustrated I am with this for two reasons. One is good and one is bad. For the upside, I'll go positive to start off. I think the feud with Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor holds the promise of something absolutely phenomenal. Finn Balor can put on a five-star match with anyone. Bray Wyatt, in my opinion, has proven that he can work with anyone. I don't care what their style is. I think these two are going to tear the house down. I actually really am confident that they're going to have great storytelling, this bizarre, you know, the Demon King versus the Eater of Worlds kind of thing. I love it. I think that just the taglines alone make this a killer feud that's going to happen. My concern is this, and here's the side that I don't like. I think this is going to lead to Finn Balor burying Bray Wyatt. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm okay with establishing Finn Balor as your top guy. That I have no issue with. What I have a problem with is Bray Wyatt has been in the company longer than Balor by a long shot and has earned the opportunity to be a top talent. And now he's going to be sitting on the sidelines playing second fiddle to Finn Balor now. And what's he got to do? Wait another 4 years before he gets back up to Universal title quality? I mean, I didn't like the move just because I felt like Bray Wyatt was finally getting his traction on SmackDown. He had a feud coming up with Luke Harper that they really could have done some things with on pay-per-views, not just house shows, not just SmackDown episodes. They really could have torn the house down on a pay-per-view. Obviously, this signals the end of the Randy Orton feud. I'm really hoping that they further Randy Orton versus AJ Styles. But at the same time, a lot of people are now talking about AJ Styles going babyface. That's a concern for me, too, because I really wanted to see him and Shinsuke Nakamura. So I don't know what their long-term plans are. I don't even think they have long-term plans for any of these people yet. I think they're just throwing this thing together. But the Bray Wyatt thing, happy and sad all at the same time, frustrating and pleasing all at the same time, because you're going to see a guy put on a killer program with another insanely talented young man in Finn Balor, but you're going to have to deal with the fact that a guy who fully deserves the world championship probably won't get it anytime soon. That's all the time we have for this episode. We're going to quick jump into one last segment before we go, and that's our fantasy booking section. You guys did an amazing job in our first couple matches of the next round. I'm going to give you your next four matches today, and those are, in match number one, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Terry Funk. And then match number two of the most classic actual amateur style wrestlers, Kurt Angle versus Bob Backlund. And then, speaking of a contrast of styles, this is a dream match for some people. The Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar versus Bruno Sammartino. And finally, I don't think I've ever thought of this match until you guys chose the winners of the first round matchups. And the minute I saw this pop up there, I was like, wow, what a match. Bret the Hitman Hart versus the modern day warrior Kerry Von Erich, or the Texas Tornado Kerry Von Erich. Put your winners to those matches in the comment section on YouTube. Please give us a subscribe, give us a like, give us comments. All those things help us build this podcast and try to bring our audience to even more people who enjoy what it is that we do. And it really makes me thrilled to see so much feedback. This last episode, you guys are amazing. You guys gave me so much, and I can't tell you how much that means to me. So we're going to move on to episode 67 next time, where we'll have all the throwdown from the SmackDown Switch, and we'll see what goes on there. That happens tonight. Special thanks, as always, to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects used in today's show. Today's podcast is sponsored in part, as always, by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games by going to www.thegamecrafter.com/sketchypeople to pick up your copy today. And AlleyRepair.com. Contact AlleyRepair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. We want to thank you for listening to today's podcast, and we encourage you to go to our website at www.frolifeplanning.com to learn more about what Mr. Fro can do for you on your path to higher education. Please remember that Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro, and I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. And if you're looking for more news and rumors to go into the world of wrestling, go to www.tsjsports.com/WWE for my latest articles on the world of pro wrestling. Until next episode, take care, everybody. Have a great night.